Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are continuing on with our study of the Tao Te Ching, and we are looking at verses 57 and 58 in light of our study of astrology. So you don't have to have seen any of the previous episodes to get something good out of this one. You can just dive right in, and every verse in the Tao Te Ching is packed full of wisdom and doesn't necessarily follow upon the previous verse. They can all be read as standalone verses. So what we're doing is we're reading two verses at a time, and then we're pausing to reflect on those verses in light of our study of astrology and what ancient mystics had to say about, you know, the spiritual purpose of astrology. I'm using the Jonathan Starr translation of the Tao Te Ching, which is a Tartar Cornerstone publication. It's a part of their Tartar Cornerstone editions, which has a lot of good texts. I did a series on the Hermetica some years ago and used their edition as well. Of course, they published my book, so I'm biased. At any rate, so today, verses 57 and 58 with some reflections for us. But before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe, share a comment, share some of your own realizations. Helps the algorithm pick up on things, I guess. You can always find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com, where I'm going to take you right now, because this Saturday, my new class, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, begins. It begins on November 12th. If you go to the courses page and click on the first year course at nightlightastrology.com, you can learn more about it. Again, it starts on November 12th. Classes are 2 to 3 hours on Saturdays from noon to about 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. They're all recorded if you can't make it live. A lot of people attend the class remotely and watch the videos of the class recordings on at their own pace. Of course, we do have an interactive group forum discussion where you can ask questions year-round, whether you're attending live or remotely, and we have tutors that are there to answer your questions within 24 hours. We have breakout study sessions with tutors in between major units of study. It is a great program. You can learn, you know, more about the specifics of it on the course page there. At the bottom, you will find several options for registering. The early bird payment saves you $500 off. Take advantage of that and save. It's a good way to go before the start of class. You have a payment plan. Some people will use that. You can stretch it out over 12 months. And then if you need any help, we do have a few need-based tuition contracts left. So we do have some of those available. They are almost out. So be sure that you apply now. And that is for people who, for whatever reason, you're maybe experiencing a little bit of financial hardship, or you have a very set and constrained budget and you need to work within that budget so that you don't go into any major amount of debt. And so we appreciate that and make that available for people so that nobody's priced out of studying a spiritual science. All right, well, hope to see some of you in class soon. And let us now get into our verses for the day. Wednesdays are always dedicated to spiritual content because it's important to me that we pause, or at least that I pause, and ask myself, like, what the heck am I doing? Why do I do astrology? And I think for anybody who takes in astrological content regularly, that it's good to pause once in a while and reflect on what the early mystics said about this practice of astrology and what it is meant to do for the soul. Now, whether you believe it or not, it can also just be interesting things. These verses have a lot of interesting things to think about that are applicable regardless of what you believe or don't believe, what your own viewpoint might be. So anyway, let's get into it. I'm going to read both verses, then we'll return, read them again, and pause after each verse to reflect. Verse 57, to rule the state, have a known plan. To win a battle, have an unknown plan. To gain the universe, have no plan at all. Let the universe itself reveal to you its splendor. How do I know this should be so? Because of this. The more restrictions, the more poverty. The more weapons, the more fear in the land. The more cleverness, the more strange events. The more laws, the more law breakers. Thus the sage says, act with a pure heart and the people will be transformed. Love your own life and the people will be uplifted. Give without conditions and the people will prosper. Want nothing, and the people will find everything. Verse 58. When the ruler knows his own heart, the people are simple and pure. When he meddles with their lives, they become restless and disturbed. Bad fortune, yes, it rests upon good fortune. Good fortune, yes, it hides within bad fortune. Oh, the things that heaven sends. Who can know their final aim? Who can tell of their endless ways? Today the righteous turn to trickery, tomorrow the good turn to darkness. Oh, what delusion abounds, and every day it grows worse. But the sage is here upon the earth to gently guide us back. He cuts but does not harm, straightens but does not disrupt, he illumines but does not dazzle. Beautiful verses. Let's go back to 57. We'll read it again now and we'll offer some reflections. To rule the state, have a known plan. To win a battle, have an unknown plan. To gain the universe, have no plan at all. Let the universe itself reveal to you its splendor. How do I know this should be so? Because of this. The more restrictions, the more poverty, the more weapons, the more fear in the land, the more cleverness, the more strange events, the more laws, the more lawbreakers. Thus the sage says, act with a pure heart and the people will be transformed. Love your own life and the people will be uplifted. Give without conditions and the people will prosper. Want nothing and the people will find everything. So I like how he says, you know, what kinds of plans to have for worldly things. If you're a statesman or general of an army or something. But if you want to gain the universe, the Tao Te Ching says, to have no plan at all. Now, I love that because I believe that is the essential thing that we start to learn the more that we study astrology, the more we start to take it in at a deep level. One of the things that happens when you study astrology and you track the transits and you see the movements of the planets, the aspects, the sign changes reflected in the events of your life, is that you realize that there is an intelligent design. So it's intelligible, you can understand it. And it is revealing to you your reason for being here, or something that there is to learn within each situation that you experience. And so I find that while astrology on the surface looks to be a predictive science, a science of reading and predicting omens about the future, it can be that. But for the astrologer who is simply tracking the planets in a devotional lifestyle, you're devoted to your life and you're devoted to understanding and living your best life, and you pay attention to the planets, what you find is that the universe is revealing itself to you. This divine intelligence that you both use and is speaking to you is constantly showing you that, yes, this is a divine place. Your life has meaning. And nothing is excluded, like little things or big things. I've seen astrology, like a horary chart, help me locate missing objects or speak to the winner of a sporting event that I'm wrapped up in. And I've also seen it address major changes in consciousness through challenging events, job changes, marriages, divorces, death, disease, you know, birth of children, all sorts of things. The big life events and the tiniest little things are all reflected by the planets. The planets are capable of reflecting anything and everything in our lives. And so there's something that grows inside of me every day. As an astrologer now for 12 going on 13 years, that it's like a voice that's constantly saying, you live in a sacred and holy place, and all you have to do is keep showing up with an attitude of curiosity, reverence, humility, fascination, and the universe will just keep revealing it to you. It'll keep revealing itself to you. And I like what is said here in this verse. How do I know that you shouldn't have a plan and just let the universe reveal itself to you? And then the sage goes on to say, because the more rules that you have, the more poverty there is, the more weapons that you have, the more fear that there is, the more cleverness that you try to, the more clever that you try to be planning and controlling things, the more bizarre things happen, the more laws, the more law breakers. So there's something here that's essentially telling us to just chill out. Don't have such a try not to have such a plan, such an agenda to control and manipulate the plot line in your favor. And when you do that, then the universe can reveal itself to you. Thus the sages say, act with a pure heart and people will be transformed. Love your life and the people will be uplifted. Give without condition, the people will prosper. Want nothing and people will find everything. And all of that goes back to not having a plan. And I find that the more that I study astrology and the more that I know that there is this divine intelligence at play in the universe, not a blade of grass moves without it, the less I feel like I have to control things. And astrology goes from obsessiveness about the future to this very beautiful companion that is helping me to hear the music of the universe, to helping me perceive the language of creation and appreciate the unfolding of things, the universe revealing itself. So, verse 58. When the ruler knows his own heart, the people are simple and pure. When he meddles with their lives, they become restless and disturbed. Bad fortune, yes, it rests upon good fortune. Good fortune, yes, it hides within bad fortune. Oh, the things that heaven sends, who can know their final aim? Who can tell of their endless ways? Today the righteous turn to trickery, tomorrow the good to darkness. Oh, what delusion abounds, and every day it grows worse. But the sage is here upon the earth to gently guide us back. Cuts but does not harm, straightens but does not disrupt, he illumines but does not dazzle. Well, the piece of this verse that I like the most is, for us as students of astrology, is the piece where he talks about good and bad fortune. Listen to some of these verses from Vettius Valens. For God and his desire that man should form, and this is an ancient astrologer speaking, excuse me. For God and his desire that man should foreknow the future brought this science into the world, a science through which anyone can know his fate in order to bear the good with great contentment and the bad with great steadfastness. Accordingly, then, the initiates of this art, those wishing to have knowledge of the future, will be helped because they will not be burdened with vain hopes, will not expend grievous midnight toil, will not vainly love the impossible, nor in a like manner will they be carried away by their eagerness to attain what they may expect because of some momentary good fortune. A suddenly appearing good often grieves men as if it were an evil. A suddenly appearing evil causes the greatest misery to those who have not trained their minds in advance. Yeah, I love this one. Firmicus Maternus, another astrologer, ancient astrologer. This study will most successfully bring us to the point where our souls will despise everything which is considered evil or good in human affairs. For when we learn of the approach of difficulties, we despise the threat of evils because we have learned from our doctrine about things to come. We do not shrink from dangers once foretold. By recollection of its majesty, our souls have formed themselves to withstand these things. We are not overcome by bad fortune, nor elated by promise of high office. Here's Ptolemy. For first of all, it is necessary to consider that even for events that will necessarily result, the unexpected is apt to cause delirious confusion and mad joy, while foreknowing habituates and trains the soul to attend to distant events as though they were present and prepares it to accept each of the arriving events with peace and tranquility. Yeah, it's beautiful. there's a couple of others that are really nice too, but that's from Chris Brennan's textbook on Hellenistic astrology, and some of the quotes are from ancient authors in the Hellenistic tradition. But the point is that in each of those authors, some of them are Stoics, some come from other philosophical schools. But across the board, ancient astrologers believed that good and bad fortune were that they were two sides of the same coin, and that astrology helps you to live a life that is rooted in the soul's experience rather than a sort of temporary, fleeting roller coaster ride of attachments to the good and the bad alike. And so we have to develop an appreciating capacity for experience itself, all different kinds of experiences. And in this verse, really simply, he's saying, you know, the ruler, this is a book that's often applied to political leaders. You can imagine if we had political leaders who knew their own heart and did not try to meddle with their lives. That's an interesting statement. And then he goes on to say that bad fortune and good fortune rest upon each other. And then he says, oh, the things that heaven sends, who can know their final aim, who can tell of their endless ways? Well, that's a direct reference to the powers of heaven that in ancient astrology would have been understood as the powers of the planets and the gods. And he's just saying, if you rely on those planets, if you are not developing a soulfulness, then you will just be turned around and around by them. And the good people turn to bad people, and the, you know, things turn in a wheel on and on. And he goes on to say that the sage is here upon the earth to guide us back into alignment with the Tao. The Tao being that way of living life that is not talking about becoming neutral and like putting the car in neutral, but it's a way of being able to appreciate the highs and the lows, because we see them as sacred. We see them as movements of the Tao. We understand them as the sacred. We understand all events as part of the sacred unfolding of the universe itself, going back to verse 57. And that is specifically what all ancient astrologers said about the purpose of astrology. It is not so much to prognosticate and develop deeper attachment to the events of the future or even the current events of our life or society. We will live those lives, and there's nothing wrong with being involved in them. Of course, we have to live a life. But this study is meant to help us see our lives and go walk through our lives with an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective means a timeless one, one that appreciates the timeless, eternal, archetypal nature of what is happening. So isn't it amazing that we can take a look at what's coming in the month ahead, or what Mars retrograde will bring, or what the eclipses will bring, or anything else? And we can say, okay, it's good to know. But at the same time, if you keep going like this, year in, year out, tracking astrology, following it, seeing the ups and downs, you start to realize that this is just the intelligence of the divine orchestrating all things. And you go back to the beginning of verse 57. You let go of the need to have a plan. And that is deeply relieving. And in a sense, that's the point of astrology itself. You start trusting that, you know, we each have a little bit of control and we have free will, but there are forces so much bigger than us. And astrology is really teaching us to trust in those forces and to trust in the nature of the way things unfold, that it is a beautiful thing to behold. And what an amazing thing that we have this language of astrology to help us do just that. That's what I've got for today. I hope that these two verses were inspiring. If they conjure up some of your own thoughts and reflections. I'd love to hear them. I always learn a lot from reading what you guys have to say about these teachings as well. Don't forget, the new class starts on Saturday. I'd love to see some of you there. We spend a lot of time looking at what ancient astrologers had to say, both theoretically, philosophically, and spiritually, as we learn to read birth charts. That begins on Saturday, November 12th. So I hope to see some of you there, and hope you guys are having a great week, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.